KMXT in Kodiak. This is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Jay Barrett. Coming up this week, marketing and sustainability are always on the minds of folks dealing with Alaska salmon. We have a follow-up on the tragic car crash in Atka. A Kodiak man is the new head of the Bristol Bay RSDA, and the Russian crab mafia. You heard me. All coming up on the Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
Members of a U.S. House panel Wednesday morning pondered the unusual path the Environmental Protection Agency has taken with the Pebble Mine, acting against the project even before the Pebble Partnership has asked for a permit. Dillingham's Kim Williams, director of Nunamta Aluxi, says EPA did not act prematurely. She testified that the threat of the project and of potential environmental damage has undermined faith in the region's salmon-based economy for years.
For us, it has created some risk in our fishery. It has created anxiety, has created, you know, why should I invest in the fishery? Why should my children invest in this fishery in Bristol Bay? Because there may be risks that come down.
Pebble CEO Tom Collier told the House Resources Committee that his company has been treated unfairly. But lawmakers of both parties had the same question for him. Why, after all these years, hasn't he filed a permit application? Collier had a range of answers.
You wouldn't want us to file if we learned that there was another possible environmental risk that we should investigate before we file. You wouldn't want us to file if we didn't have the money to go forward because there was a market change. For the last 2.5 years, Congressman, we haven't filed because of EPA's action.
Collier also disputed claims that the project poses risks. The CEO says no one knows the scope or details of the Pebble Mine.
Were we to file an application today, were I to file an application, be a dramatically different project from what has been talked about in the past.
A Democratic congressman suggested another reason for the delay, Collier's bonus. Company documents show he'll be paid $12.5 million if he can get a permit within 4 years of the application. Collier says it's an incentive to submit an airtight application, not an incentive to delay. An Anchorage man faces felony charges after the van he was driving under the influence rolled, killing three people in Atka last week. 28-year-old Sonny El Olio was driving 9 employees of Atka Pride Seafoods on a straight stretch of road between the airport and the cannery when the vehicle drifted off the roadway. Alaska State Troopers say he was drinking, overcorrected, and caused the vehicle to roll multiple times. According to troopers, neither El Olio nor his passengers were wearing seatbelts, and speed and impairment of the driver contributed to the fatal crash. Troopers have identified the three dead as 43-year-old Ray McCullough Jr., 51-year-old Mike Tunahan Jr., and 57-year-old Paul Nicholas Nesbitt, all from Anchorage. The driver and 5 other passengers had to be transported off of Atka for treatment of their injuries. A warrant has been issued for El Olio's arrest. He'll be charged with multiple counts of manslaughter, first-degree assault, and DUI. The Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association has a new board president, elected earlier this month at the group's meeting in Naknek. It's Mike Fischero of Kodiak, a facilities construction consultant and retired general contractor. Fischero has been a Bristol Bay fisherman for 34 years. For 6 years, he was the financial officer for the Kodiak Public Broadcasting Board of Directors. Also at that meeting, Larry Christensen was re-elected vice president and Lang Solberg was re-elected secretary treasurer.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Well, about 4 years in, Alaska's new sustainable seafood standard is gaining traction and getting updated. A public comment period is open this summer to get some feedback on the newest version. KDLG's Molly Dishner has more.
Sustainability has become a buzzword in many industries over the past decade, and the seafood world is no exception. That's created a whole new industry around who gets to decide what fish is sustainable. A couple of years ago, Alaska decided it was time for a label of its own. In 2012, the Alaska Responsible Fisheries Management Standard was launched. That's owned by the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. Susan Marks is ASME's Sustainability Director.
So RFM was started because our industry and our customers felt that a choice in certification was important. It was less about the use of an eco-label and more about letting the businesses in Alaska brand their own seafood with their own marketing messaging.
The way the certification works is that the client has to hire an independent reviewer to make sure a fishery meets the RFM requirements. Take Alaska Salmon. The Alaska Fisheries Development Foundation is the client for all of the state's salmon fisheries. That organization hires an approved certification body to audit the fishery. Some companies selling Alaska salmon use the free RFM seal on their fish. Others choose not to. Regardless of whether the seal shows up on a package of salmon, the third-party certification is a requirement to sell seafood into certain markets. In parts of Europe, the Marine Stewardship Council's blue label is necessary. But the MSC charges a licensing fee just for the logo, and the process can be expensive. RFM was meant to offer companies a different option. But it was slow to take off initially. There were questions raised about transparency and credibility. Over the last 2 years, the program has undergone changes, including establishing a formal governance structure, developing a quality management system, and improving its standards.
So now everything is transparent. We've got three advisory committees that are listed on our website. And in the past, there were many questions about how decisions are made and how certain things were handled. For example, appeals and complaints. Previously, there was not a place where a stakeholder could go and get those questions answered. Now we have our quality management system, or QMS, which is like our policies and procedures manual. So this is publicly available on our website. So if you want to know what is RFM's appeals and complaints procedure, we have a procedure written for that that you can go and look at. We've also created new processes and improved our existing ones.
Now, ASME is taking comments on version 2 of the RFM standard. A 60-day comment period opened June 6th and runs through August 4th. What does that mean for Alaska salmon? Alaska Fisheries Development Foundation Executive Director Julie Decker says having choice is good for the industry. And even though an RFM label doesn't appear on many packages of salmon, it still helps it sell behind the scenes.
I think a lot of times the RFM program, as well as MSC and any others, sometimes they're working in the background. The logo's not necessarily being displayed on packaging and stuff, but when retailers go to purchase from companies, they want the assurance with documentation that that purchase is from a sustainable source. They may not show that to the consumers, but they want to know. And their consumers, the message we're getting is that consumers want the retailers to do the work for them, basically, to make sure that that is from a sustainable source.
Decker also says in the past year, use of the label has increased, and more of that could be seen in the future. In Dillingham, I'm Molly Dishner.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you by commercial fishermen for Bristol Bay, permit holders, and fishing groups standing together to protect and enhance the renewable fishing jobs and businesses of the Bristol Bay region.
Technology continues to make it easier for fishermen to connect with potential customers wherever they may be. KDLG's Shaylin Cochran spoke with one Bristol Bay skipper who has taken to the skies to help market his catch.
Say hello to one of the newest marketing tools for salmon in Bristol Bay.
This is a little DJI Phantom 2 drone. It's kind of an older model.
That's Xander Jameson, captain of the Bucco. His drone has garnered plenty of attention out here in the boatyard, and it does look like a pretty fun toy. Dogs are definitely captivated by it at takeoff, but it's also a useful tool. He's using it to shoot video of his summer fishing season, which helps tell the story of the fish he sells back in Virginia. Jameson says he didn't think to use the drone for business until he actually had one called, what else, Captain Zan's Fishy Business.
And then last year we decided, since we could never find wild salmon other than the salmon that we brought home for ourselves in the store, we'd start selling it. So I bought a whole bunch back from the seafood market, and we started marketing it to seafood restaurants in our area, little restaurants in our area, little stores, and slowly but surely it gathered a clientele. And then we got into a farmer's market in Alexandria right outside of D.C. and started selling fish on the weekends.
They had found their niche. Week after week, Xander and his mate, Haley Payne, sold out early and spent afternoons promising to bring more next time. It was a good problem to have and a good opportunity to tell the story of these fish that come from some 4,000 miles away.
They don't understand. They're just like, oh, so fish happens. So we tell them about it, and we tell them about the process, and we tell them what it's like to be on a boat for however many weeks at a time, potentially without showers or bathrooms or anything like that. And they're just fascinated. I'm really excited that we can put videos up so they can see that while we're gone, so they can see what we're doing just to bring this to them.
One of the big challenges we have when people get more and more interested in local food is that we're not close to a lot of the markets.
That's Tyson Fick. He's the communications director for the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute.
It's absolutely key to us in telling the brand story and increasing the value of seafood to talk about the locale, the place, and the people who make it possible for high-quality Alaska seafood to enter the market.
Everyone wants local, or in the absence of local, they at least want to know more about where their food comes from. And that's why the drone.
It's going to land on either right on top of us or right on top of the container.
Yeah. Never even mind that. Think about how Twitter and Instagram, we're not Twitter people, like, we're not, but we tried it, and just having a Twitter, tagging him in Twitter, grew our business so much.
It's probably the easiest, cheapest, quickest way to advertise, and when you've got a story or even a little movie to go along with it, it's not too hard of a sell.
I dropped off a fillet to this chef in a sous chef when I got a call a few days later, and he said, how can I get more of this? How much of this do you have? And I said, well, I have as much of it as you want. How much do you want? He said, bring me a case Thursday.
And for the chefs back east, Jameson, the Bristol Bay Fleet, and just the salmon-loving public at large, Thursday can't come soon enough. In Dillingham, I'm Shaylin Cochran.
The Russian Federal Security Service says they have prevented attempts at a power grab of resources in the Far East by the Crab Mafia. According to a report in seafood.com, the Russian fishing industry appears to be on the verge of a massive scandal due to the recent arrest of Yuri Kokolov, an advisor and close representative of Ilya Shestakov, head of the Russian Federal Agency for Fisheries, due to suspicion of ties with the Crab Mafia.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
And that's all for this week's Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from APRN's Liz Ruskin in Washington, D.C., KUCB's Zoe Sobel in Unalaska, and KDLG's Molly Dishner and Shaylin Cochran in Dillingham. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Jay Barrett.